Welcome to the Montgomery Community Church Podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. We hope this message encourages you and inspires you to grow deeper in your faith. If you'd like to learn more about MCC, you can visit our website at mcc.church.
And the angel said unto them, Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. King Herod, afraid of losing his throne, sought to eliminate any potential rival. Blinded by his self-interests and consumed by his desires, he chose himself over the promise of a coming Messiah. As the years passed, Herod's solitude grew. He faced a lonely death, a king who ruled over nothing but himself, repeating the mistakes man has perpetuated since the beginning. Jesus, the promised Messiah, walked among us. His life echoed the prophecies, and his death became the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. Joy in the heavens and peace on earth. For unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born. Two kings, both different, one driven by selfish desires and wrapped in robes of power. The other, choosing to trade his heavenly throne for swaddling clothes, embodying sacrifice and love. So now what? Which king will you follow? And what will you do with Jesus?
When I was in high school, there was a show on TV that I never missed. I loved it. In fact, this show became so popular over time that several years later, it was made into a Hollywood film. And while there were a lot of different songs sung in the show and later on the film, there was one song that stood among them all. It was basically the theme, the title. It said, Fame. I'm gonna live forever. I'm gonna learn how to fly. I'm gonna make it to heaven, light up the sky like a flame. Fame, I'm gonna live forever. So baby, remember my name. Well, some of you remember those words. You remember that song. Some of you have never heard of it before. And others are thinking, you know what, I have, but Phil, I mean, come on, it's really outdated. Come on, right? But here's why I read those lyrics to you. Because the truth is, the theme of that song is even more true today than it was when it was first sung. I mean, let's be honest. Let's take a look and consider our fascination in our culture with Hollywood and politics, celebrities, the rich and famous, and even ourselves. Fame. Our culture celebrates it. And if we're honest, many of us do as well. But here on Christmas Eve, let me ask you this question. What if God values something else? And if he does, what might it look like for us to value that? Not just on this particular evening, but on every day of our lives. As we heard earlier, when Jesus was born on Christmas, it was huge news. I mean, especially to those shepherds on the hillside, the angel appeared to them and said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people, everyone. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Well, this was news that basically said, there's someone who has been born into this world who will soon change your world. So we get your eyes off yourself and off of everything you're doing right now and start looking to him. Well, that's exactly what they did. That's why they ran to where he was. And there were others as well. Magi from the east, who after learning of Christ's birth, traveled hundreds of miles to see him. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, the Bible says, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Well, much like those shepherds, the sheer amount of effort and time it took for those magi to travel from where they were to where Christ was, well, it clearly showed that they were not focused on themselves. They were very much focused on him. And yet there was still another person at that time who had no interest in traveling anywhere or taking his eyes off himself for even one moment. He also had no interest in seeing this newborn baby, especially a baby who was born to change the world. You see, this guy liked his world the way that it was. His name? King Herod. And when it comes to fame, there was no one more famous than him back then. In fact, he was a man who worked tirelessly to make a name for himself. And I think really one reason why that was the case for him is because he was actually born into our world as a bit of an outcast. You see, Herod's father was Arab in origin, but raised Herod as a Jew. And that was not common. And so his life began humbly enough. But as he grew up, his brilliance soon rose to the surface. And by the time he became a young adult, he was known to be shrewd, strategic, politically minded, and extremely well connected. He also made a pile of money in the business world. And so due to Herod's success combined with all of his connections, he was able to buy and marry into a position of power and fame through marriage. And he soon then became known as the King of the Jews. And while he would rule under the watchdog of the Roman Emperor, Herod's power would go unquestioned as long as he watched his kingdom closely. That meant that he had to ensure peace. And so after he took the throne, that's what he attempted to do. I mean, his fame only increased when he became known as the builder of these beautiful palaces, which he strategically named after Roman emperors. And this garnered even more support from Rome and guaranteed peace. And then he wasn't done. He built the second temple in Jerusalem. It's one of the largest construction projects of the entire first century. And this caused many of the Jewish people to love and esteem him as well, and that helped to ensure peace. And so Herod's friends, fans, and followers became many in that day. In fact, I think he would have loved our social media because he would have been very well liked. In almost no time at all, though, Herod was seen. He was important. He was known. He was popular. He was highly esteemed, and Herod vowed to keep things that way. But then it happened. You might even say, then he happened. Herod first heard about him when those magi showed up at his front door asking where the king could be found. And when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. He was disturbed because a new king always meant a new uprising. And an uprising would uproot everything Herod had worked so hard to establish. He had built his kingdom his way in order to get himself more attention, not less. And if an uprising actually occurred, the Roman emperor would notice all of the commotion and step in to take over. So Herod had to take action while appearing, of course, calm, cool, and collected. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. Now, at first glance, if you take a look at the passage, it seems like, you know what, he's doing the reasonable thing. Herod is bringing together a diverse group of people, very knowledgeable people, to kind of help him understand what's going on. The truth is, though, something else was going on, because Herod had long surrounded himself with people who thought like him, who agreed with him, who applauded him and made their lives all about him. You see, in modern day terms, you would say that these were Herod's followers. But if they had a contrary position, they dared not share it. After all, they had witnessed previous people who had voiced their opinions, and they were now no longer among the living. You see, Herod was a narcissist who did many great things, but many horrible things as well. And much like some people in our culture today, Herod wielded shamelessness like it was a superpower. And so with fear and trepidation, they heard him and responded, "In Bethlehem in Judea, for this is what the prophet has written." Now, in a way, this is actually good news for Herod. You see, Bethlehem was a mere 60-minute chariot ride away. I mean, this was not a great inconvenience for him. And even so, Herod sat there and considered the importance of the choices he had to make. I mean, would he accept this new king and go worship him? Or would he reject this new king and try to do away with him? And if Herod chose true worship, well, he knew that it meant fully acknowledging who Christ is. And friends, that's really the case for all of us. And if Herod, of course, chose to go his own way, well, and, you know, do away with this king, well, it certainly showed that he was acknowledging himself. Well, the next two verses tell us what happened. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Well, the Magi left, and the Magi soon found the Christ. And when they did, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And while there's no question that they exclusively worshiped Christ, there were some questions left hanging in the air, like, what about Herod? I mean, should we go back and tell him what we've seen? And does he really want to worship him? Really? And friends, those weren't just good questions for them in their mind regarding Herod. They're good questions for us here tonight. You see, Herod is a lot like our culture today that we live in. Stop and think about it, really. I mean, we live in a world where the individualized self is our highest goal. And because this is true, there are so many things that seem to stand in the way of us really realizing this. And you know what? This bothers us. You know, things like other people and other groups, other agendas and other authorities. And so do we tend to do in our culture today? Well, we tend to detach. Think about it. We detach from our neighbors. Many times we don't seem to talk to them or really go out of our way to get to know them or even their names, even if they're just a short distance from where we're standing. We'd rather just say hi, you know, or, you know, have a great day, or isn't it a beautiful day, and then just go on our way. But we detach from them. We detach from our job sometimes as well. We're tempted to put in as little effort as possible, and so we watch the clock, maybe even complain to our friends and family about how much we dislike really the job we're getting paid to do. Because in truth, we only want to do what we feel like doing, and anything else just feels like an inconvenience. And many times we're tempted to detach from God. I mean, who really needs to be tied to a creator who designed us in his image when we can remake him in our own? So we detach. And after doing that, what do we do next? We tend to embrace people who look, think, believe, dress, and act a lot like us. As one author put it, so we gather around or move toward or follow online people who are like us, which in a weird way is actually just worshiping ourselves. We believe we are God and only want to be surrounded by others created in our image. Given this, we only like things we want to like and curate things we want to see, further creating and hardening our ability to never have to see things we don't want to see or disagree with. And what happens when somebody does disagree with us? Do we listen to them and show respect to them, try to understand where they're coming from? Well, sometimes, but let's be honest. I mean, why would we want to do that? I mean, since my world is about me, what I like and what I esteem, the only options before me is really to shun them or cancel them or block them. And in so doing, we embody the heart of King Herod 2,000 years later, right here in 2023. So given all the similarities, do we really think Herod wanted to worship this new infant king? You see, like many people before him and after him, Herod wanted to be the star of his own story, not a supporting character in a much bigger and much grander story. So the Bible tells us, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they, the Magi, returned to their country by another route. They were warned not to go back and see Herod because Herod didn't want to accept this new king and worship him. Herod wanted to reject this new king and do away with him. You see, bottom line, friends, Herod did not want to share his title with anyone. He wanted to ensure that he was the only one who would be known throughout history as the King of the Jews. And yet he wasn't successful. While Herod did reject Jesus, of course, in his heart and in his mind, Jesus would go on to live and teach and heal and transform. And while Herod had failed in his attempt to ensure Jesus died as a child, when Jesus grew to adulthood and knew it was his time, he told those around him, he said, "And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. Well, not long afterward, Jesus was lifted high up on that cross where he died before the crowds as the King of the Jews. The good news, after his death and resurrection, Christ's kingdom would not be limited to just the Jewish people, but would include anyone, all people who would truly seek him. That's the good news, which brings us right back to the bad news we talked about a bit earlier. That each one of us, even if we don't really want to admit it sometimes, we can be a little bit like Herod. We all seek our own fame in our own way. We want to be seen. We want to be liked. We want to be important. We want to be known. We want to be esteemed. I get that. But have you considered this, friends? That Jesus was born in a manger 2,000 years ago at Christmas because he has seen you. That's why he came. You are deeply known by him. You're highly valued by him. And as important as Jesus is, and as powerful as Jesus is, the only thing he will not do is make you worship him. That's a choice every person needs to make for themselves. You see, the same choice that Herod had to make 2,000 years ago is the same choice really each one of us has to make here tonight on Christmas Eve. Will I accept Christ and truly worship him? Or will I reject him and kind of do away with him? In the end, it all comes down to Jesus, the manger, and me. Will I seek more of Jesus and less of myself? Will I humbly seek his manger instead of seeking my own space or pride-filled place? What will I do with Jesus? Friend, what will you do with Jesus? I ask that question because, you see, Jesus not only likes you. That's so popular in our culture. He goes way beyond that. Jesus loves you. The only question tonight is this: will you love him? And as you consider that question, I'd like you to consider one other thing as well. That when Jesus was born, as you know, you heard it earlier, he received gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And the beauty of the gospel, the power of the gospel is this: when you ask Christ to be born in you, he delivers invaluable gifts to you. Like his grace, his peace, so desperately needed, his forgiveness, and his love. So what will you do with Jesus? I know there are some here watching and online, some here in this place. You've grown tired of the organized church. It's kind of turned you off, and so you've, in a sense, kind of turned your back on Jesus. Some have been completely annoyed with how, you know, religion has been tied in with politics, and it just turned you off, and you just kind of left it all behind. Some may have been hurt by a Christian or somehow by the church you attended at one time. Some, you are still grappling with a past experience. It was so deep. It was so painful. You wondered where God was, and so you just kind of walked away. If any of those things are true for you, I just want you to know I'm so sorry. I'm sorry for the pain you face. I am sorry for what you've gone through. I am. And then in the face of all these realities, the question still remains, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do? Wherever you are, if you can just maybe bow your head, close your eyes. And I believe there are some here tonight that say, oh, I need to worship him. I need to follow him. I need to stop this life and this thing I've been doing. I just got to leave it behind. I've got to pursue him. It's time. So perhaps between your heart and God's heart tonight, just silently, quietly, you might pray a prayer that sounds like this. Dear Jesus, tired. I've been searching for peace for a long time now, and I still don't have it. I know the pain of my past, the experiences of my past, they've been hard for me, so I've got to push you out. I pushed you away. Lord, forgive me. Lord, will you forgive me? I want to follow you. I want to be in a relationship with you. I want to mark tonight, Christmas Eve, is the day I did that. And Lord, it's my goal, it's my heart's desire that I love you all the days of my life. So help me to follow you. And teach me so many things, Lord, along the way. Until that day you call me home to worship you forever. I pray this, Lord, in your name, Jesus alone. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected throughout the week by following Montgomery Community Church on Facebook and Instagram. For more information about MCC, visit our website at mcc.church.